The metal man stands in a dark, dusty corner of the Tyburn College Museum. Just who is responsible for the figure being moved there, or why it was done, I do not know. To the casual eye, it looks to be merely an ordinary life-size statue. The visitor who gives it a closer view marvels at the minute perfection of the detail of hair and skin, at the silent tragedy in the set, determined expression and poise, and at the remarkable greenish cast of the metal of which it is composed, but most of all, at the peculiar mark upon the chest. It is a six-sided blot of a deep crimson hue, with the surface oddly granular and strange wavering lines radiating from it, lines of a lighter shade of red. Of course, it is generally known that the metal man was once Professor Thomas Kelvin of the geology department. There are current many garbled and inaccurate accounts of the weird disaster that befell him. I believe I'm the only one to whom he entrusted his story. It is to put these fantastic tales at rest that I have decided to publish the narrative that Kelvin sent me. For some years he had been spending his summer vacations along the Pacific coast of Mexico, prospecting for radium. It was 3 months since he had returned from his last expedition. Evidently, he had been successful beyond his wildest dreams. He did not come to Tyburn, but we heard stories of his selling millions of dollars worth of salts of radium and giving as much more to institutions employing radium treatment. And it was said that he was sick of a strange disorder that defied the world's best specialists, and that he was pouring out his millions in the establishment of scholarships and endowments as if he expected to die soon. One cold, stormy day, when the sea was running high on the unprotected coast which the cottage overlooks, I saw a sail out to the north. It rapidly drew nearer until I could tell that it was a small sailing schooner with auxiliary power. She was running with the wind, but a half mile offshore, she came up into it, and the sails were lowered. Soon, a boat had put off in the direction of the shore. The sea was not so rough as to make the landing hazardous, but the proceeding was rather unusual, and as I had nothing better to do, I went out in the yard before my modest house, which stands perhaps 200 yards above the beach, in order to have a better view. When the boat touched, 4 men sprang out and rushed it up higher on the sand. As a fifth tall man arose in the stern, the 4 picked up a great chest and started up in my direction. The fifth person followed leisurely. Silently and without invitation, the men brought the chest up the beach and into my yard and set it down in front of the door. The fifth man, whom I now knew to be a hard-faced Yankee skipper, walked up to me and said gruffly, "I am Captain McAndrews." "I'm glad to meet you, Captain," I said, wondering. "There must be some mistake. I was not expecting..." "Not at all," he said abruptly. "The man in that chest was transferred to my ship from the liner Plutonia 3 days ago. He has paid me for my services, and I believe his instructions have been carried out. Good day, sir." He turned on his heel and started away. "A man in the chest!" I exclaimed. He walked on unheeding, and the seaman followed. I stood and watched them as they walked down to the boat and rowed back to the schooner. I gazed at its sails until they were lost against the dull blue of the clouds. Frankly, I feared to open the chest. At last, I nerved myself to do it. It was unlocked. I threw back the lid. With a shock of uncontrollable horror that left me half sick for hours, I saw in it, stark naked, with the strange crimson mark standing lividly out from the pale green of the breast, the metal man, just as you may see him.